Blog Talk Radio.
Friday. It is 11 p.m. And guess what that means? That means it is time to go to the movies and discuss the movies at Movie Talk with Vince. This is Movie Talk. That must make me Vince. It is. Hi, I'm Vince. This is Movie Talk. How are you all doing? How's your week been? This week I spent it with a demon of sorts, a scarred child murderer who came back in people's dreams to continue his reign of terror. That's right, I'm talking about the notorious Freddy Krueger in the Nightmare on Elm Street films. Watch them this week. Want to talk a little bit about them, what I thought was good about them, what I thought was not so good, what I think should have changed, what I think should have never happened in the first place, and why I think some of the bad stuff wasn't as bad as you remember, and why some of the good stuff, well, it's just still great. And why some of the stuff that you might have went, well, was actually much better than you expected or much better than you remember. Anyway, so that's my opinion. I'm going to talk about it this week on Movie Talk with Vince. But now, before we get started, let me make sure that you have the guest call-in number. So if you want to join in the chat, you want to tell me your feelings on Freddy Krueger, the man with the funny hand, the dream master, whatever, the child of a thousand maniacs. Then you've got to call me. It's 914-205-5404. Let's try it again. Everybody, join with me. 914-205-5404. One more time. 914-205-5404. You got it? I think you got it. Anyway, so if you want to join in the chat, just give that number a call. I'll put you on the air. And you can tell me what you liked, what you hated, what you just did not care about. When it comes to Freddy Krueger and the Nightmare on Elm Street film. All right, and before we get started, don't forget, you're going to be hearing my opinion, so if you're offended by opinions, then what planet are you living on? Come on, get with the program. Everybody's got opinions. We're all entitled to them, and they're just fun to share because you never know. Someone might agree with you. Someone might not agree with you. Someone might tell you that you're full of hooey, and you might go, yeah, you know what? You're kind of right. I changed my mind. So, or maybe they'll go, you know what? I'm the one that's full of hooey. Never mind. I'm going to change my mind. Or maybe no one will change their mind. Or maybe everybody will. Or maybe next thing you know, we're all changing our minds and nobody knows what the hell anyone's thinking about. Or what anybody's talking about. Or what am I talking about? I have no idea. Anyway, opinions are fun, so don't be scared. And also, don't forget, spoiler alert, I might be giving away some major plot points, so even if you want to take a pause and go watch all the Nightmare on Elm Street films, I'll just have to wait for you then. Okay, hold on. I'll be right back. Okay. You back? All right, good. Thank you for watching. And anyway, so don't forget, don't take my word for it. Go check out the movies for yourself. They're a lot of fun. All right, now let's get things started with The Nightmare on Elm Street. All right. So let's do a quick little history lesson. Where did the Nightmare on Elm Street start? How did it start? Why did it start? Who started it? Why? All right. So Nightmare on Elm Street originally started from the brainchild and the brain of a young man by the name of Wes Craven. He had directed a horror movie called The Hills Have Eyes, I believe, before Nightmare on Elm Street, as well as Last House on the Left. So he was well attuned to horror and always remembered as he always tells us the time of a time when he was home as a child, and he saw this was probably some homeless man with this coat and this hat who was walking down the street. And Wes was in his room watching him from the safety of his bedroom, at least so he thought, until the man seemed to turn and look at him in the light. He was like, "Oh my God!" And of course, that would terrify any child. But there was something about that always stuck with him. And I think he probably ended up having a dream about it. He thought, "Oh my God, what if that guy, came and attacked me in my dreams? Oh my God." Hence the Nightmare on Elm Street. He also remembered the story a true story of that, something he had read in the paper about this weird phenomenon of people who were having nightmares, and then the nightmares were literally killing them. They would not wake up from their dreams. They would go to bed and complain about these nightmares, and then one night just had a heart attack or whatever because the nightmares were just so terrifying. So this was something that stuck with Wes. So he thought, well, what if there was somebody who haunted you in your dreams, and if he killed you in your dreams, you didn't wake up? So what would that be like? Now, supposedly he wrote the story, and he tried to sell it to a bunch of studios. Most of them turned him down because they thought, well, it's just a dream, so once you wake up, it's okay. And he was like, no, you don't get it. You don't wake up. You go to bed, you have this dream, and you can't get out of it. You're stuck in the dream. Your life becomes this dream world, and then you die in it, and you don't wake up. You're dead in real life. And they're like, I don't get it. He was like, oh, that's fine. So finally, he went to New Line Studios, a young, hard-up studio that didn't really have any hits and were desperate to put on anything. And they said, well, can you make this for under $1 million? He was like, I think so. Does it have to have any stars in it? No, I don't think so. All right, then we'll pay for it. And next thing you know, New Line Cinema puts up the original Nightmare on Elm Street. And for my money, still the best one. It's the only one that's truly original. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's another one that's truly original. I'll get to that in a minute, or a few minutes. But the first one is the first one to introduce the Freddy character. It introduces the situation that Freddy puts his victims into. And it is quite still a scary film, mostly because Wes Craven focused more on horror in that movie and thriller and suspense than he did on anything else. He really wanted to make this one a truly scary horror film. And it featured a young, fairly unknown cast, including a very young Johnny Depp in one of his first feature films, looking very cute and very, you could tell pretty much right away that, yeah, this guy's going to go somewhere. But everybody did a fairly decent job with the material they were given. Now, when I say that, I know you're probably saying, hey, didn't you just praise? Yes, I did. It is a great horror movie, but it's a horror movie. And Wes Craven, pretty much knew what he had to deliver and didn't really go too far above that. He did go so far above it, but not too far. The story isn't really, there's no real plot development. The characters are just your fairly generic high school kids who are being scared. But the film still works because you don't need anything more than that. All you really need is some truly terrifying images, and Wes gives you terrifying images left and right. And one of the best parts about the film is Robert Englund's performance of Fred Krueger, who is still just called Fred in the first film, and how he plays the character pretty much straight on. Yes, he's a little cocky, or really cocky, and yes, he does crack a joke here and there, but for the most part, his job is to scare the crap out of you, and that's what he's trying to do. And most of the stuff that he does, he's laughing because he's so happy about the fact that he's scaring the crap out of you. And that sinister laugh is chill-inducing. You're like, oh, my God. And the visuals that Wes was able to craft on such a low budget still works to this day. Now, I think it would be interesting to watch the movie nowadays with somebody who has never seen it, because they would probably disagree with me and probably say, no, this film is a lot funnier than scary. I'm not really scared by it, but I don't know. All I can tell you is when I first saw this movie when I was a kid, it gave me nightmares. Freddy Krueger was one scary MF-er, if you know what I mean. Whenever you have a hit, which this absolutely was, what's the first thing a studio wants to do? Make another one. So a bunch of other dream movies started to come out, Dreamscape with Dennis Quaid, and a bunch of other movies that involved people going into people's dreams and then being scared to death and not waking up or whatever. So then the studios realized, well, we have to do another Freddy movie. So Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge, came out. At this point, Wes Craven didn't want to have anything to do with the sequel. He felt that he had basically told everything he wanted to tell with the first film. And so he had no desire to come back and make a second one. So they said, that's fine, we'll just make it without you. So they got a new director, a new bunch of writers. And the problem when you do that is, and it's the problem with any movies when you change writers and you change directors, is any change of vision, and also the writer has a certain criteria that they're going with that the new writers might not necessarily have or even know what the original directors or writers' thought process was for why the character does certain things. They just, you know, they're just going by what they saw in the original film, and so that's what the new writers did, and they decided to come up with something interesting. Now, most fans hate Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. For one thing, you never really know who he's taking revenge out on, because none of the original characters except for Freddy Krueger returns. Robert Englund does return to play Freddy, but he's the only one from the first film. Nobody else. The producers are the same, and that's it. None of the actors, none of the directors, none of the special effects people, everything else is different. So the problem with that is then you've got people coming in with a new set of ideas, as I said before. And this new director, who was himself a gay man, decided to, rather than have the typical woman running around being the main hero or, you know, person being attacked, decided to change it around and make it a boy. And he cast an actor who was also gay. And the reason why I mentioned that is actually because it did affect the story. It did affect the story because the new actors decided that they wanted to not make the character gay, the main character, even though the lead has said in years since that he kind of sees that character as a closeted gay person. In the movie, he does make out with a girl. He has a girlfriend. But he kind of saw him as someday in the future, he probably came out of the closet. But at this point, he's still in the closet, so he doesn't know that he's gay yet. So he doesn't play him as gay, but he might have been in the future. And again, the reason why I bring all this up is because the director did decide to throw in some homoerotic overtones into the story and into, you know, some of the kills. And a lot of fans to this day hate that because it doesn't really fit. And I do agree, it doesn't really fit. But what I disagree with is, you know, whether or not those things really should have been in the movie or not. Mostly because I think that having all that in the film, making the main character a boy, throwing in some of his gay stuff in it, and at one point it's revealed that the coach has been going to a gay bar, he's more than just probably gay. He's definitely gay. And at one point he's, you know, seen whipped to death by Freddy Krueger naked in a shower, being whipped from behind by the towel. It's a very, very gay scene. Very strange. But what I liked about Part 2 is that the director still tried to go for a scary movie. He didn't try and throw in too much comedy or too much other stuff. He just decided to throw in a horror movie. So for the most part, the movie is still scary. And for many parts, the movie does still work. It doesn't work as much as the first film. If I was going to rate the films, I would give Part 1 a 9. And I'd probably give Part 2 a 5. It's not a terrible movie. It does work in some aspects, but for the most part, it works less than it does work, shall I say that. And yes, the gay stuff doesn't quite fit, but it's not as out of place, shall I say, than most people want to, you know, say it is. I think it's because a lot of people just don't like that stuff, and especially in their horror movies. They wanted basically a carbon copy of Part 1, and Part 2 isn't that. The biggest problem I have with Part 2 is probably some of the stuff that Wes Craven had a problem with, and that is that they have Freddy doing things in this movie that he couldn't do or just didn't do in the first film. It wasn't part of his mythology. But the problem was Wes, I don't think, established the mythology that specifically, so that the new writers didn't know that. So in the second film, he's trying to possess this kid and trying to come out into the real world. Well, he didn't do that in the first movie. He didn't need to. He could kill you in your dreams and you were done. He didn't need to possess anybody to come out into the real world. But this time he does, and there's a couple of scenes where killing people not in their dreams. They're all awake, and he's, you know, slaughtering them left and right like he's alive in the real world. And I think Wes Craven's like, what? How did that happen? That's not something Freddy Krueger can do. Well, the writers didn't know that, and they decided that's what he can do. But most fans nowadays, me and myself included, go, yeah, that doesn't fit. So then they came back, well, at least Wes Craven did, for Part 3. The Dream Warriors. And the Dream Warriors worked because they tried to get, what I like about Part 2 was that they tried something different. It didn't quite work, but I give them kudos for the attempt. We're going for a horror movie, but not giving you the same old thing. We're going to try something different. Part three also tries something different, but in very much the same way as how James Cameron changed the genre of the film that he was doing when he made the sequel to Alien. I mean, he went from a horror movie to an action movie. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, Dream Warriors, is very different from Part 1. This time around, Wes Craven didn't direct. He didn't produce, I don't think. I mean, that's usually given executive producer credit, which is usually just, you know, that doesn't really say much. But he did write the original treatment for the story. He came up with the idea of that the kids would be in kind of a mental institution. It's not really a mental institution, but it's a home where the kids are basically locked up. And because they're hurting themselves, they want to commit suicide because of these dreams they're having being haunted by Freddy Krueger. And so the third film isn't nearly as scary as the first one. There's not much. The new director didn't adhere to, shall we say, the story or the method of making a movie where he stuck to it being a thriller. It has horror elements in it. There's definitely scary, or shall I say, gory kills. But for my money, the villain, dangerous. Kind of like when you have a movie like, you know, I don't know, any movie where you see the killer actually kill somebody, and it may be bloody, it may not be, but the only reason he's doing this, so you know that this guy is someone not to be trifled with. And that's why the kills happen, and that was because, well, that's what Freddy does, and you need him to kill people, so you know that's what he does. And that these kids, even if we're not afraid of him anymore, we know these kids are. And we know why. So what I like about Part 3 and why I think Part 3 still works is because it is an interesting story, but for the first time, beyond Part 1 and Part 2, Part 3 is the most fun. It's no longer, they realize now they really couldn't keep Freddy scary anymore, so they decided to make him a fun character. And that's one of the things that made Part 3 work. You know, I think it was also Part 4, 5, and 6. 4, most of the actors, you know, a couple of the actors returned, but most of them didn't. Lawrence Fishburne made his, you know, not his acting debut. I think his acting debut was in Apocalypse Now. But, you know, he did make an appearance in Part 3. Patricia Arquette made one of her early film appearances in Part 3. And a couple other actors were like, oh, look, that guy's, I remember him from. And, of course, Nancy, Heather Langenkamp, and John Saxton, who played her father in the first film, make their return in this one. Not for the last time. They will make another return in another film. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, anyway, so the film ties into the first film but ignores Part 2 completely, mostly because Wes was like, I didn't have anything to do with that. And the studio was like, yeah, I think that was a misstep, so we'll just pretend it didn't happen. And Part 3 comes out, and it was fun. It was funny. It was gory. I remember at the time when it came out, I was in high school, and nobody could wait to see that film. Everyone was like, and once it came out, everyone was going, did you see it? Oh, you got to go see it. Oh, my God, it was so fun. It's gory, yes, but it's not so gory that it makes you sick. It's just gory enough so you know that Freddy is someone not to be trifled with. Then the problem comes with how do you follow that up. And Part 4 and 5 basically tried to continue the story and turned the new saga into a trilogy where they have characters return. Patricia Arquette didn't return, so her character is now played by a new person who, you know, her character is then killed. Spoiler alert in the movie. But again, now they realize that Part 3 established, shall we say, a new way of making the movie. So now they just decided a new template. And so now, Part 4 and Part 5 are basically just carbon copies. They just followed the template with no real imagination. And that's one of the reasons why I don't think 4 and 5 work as well. They work better. I mean, again, if we're going to rate them, I'm going to say Nightmare 1 is a 9, Nightmare 2 is a 5, Nightmare 3 is a 7 or an 8. It's not quite as good as the first one because it's not scary at all, but it is fun. But now 4 and 5, put them both in the same. They're almost the same movie because they feature a lot of the same actors returning, and it is a continuation of the same storyline. It just keeps, you know, we just jump from the ending scene of the last film into this film. Anyway, so what was I saying? Oh, sorry. So they just kind of continue on from the last film. But yeah, but they're not as quite as good. It's kind of like just the originality is gone from what they did in part three, and now it's like, oh, more of the same. The four and five are fine. I would say that they're probably like a six. They're better than part two, but they're not quite as good as part three. And they're both about the same. They're, you know, they're almost, you can almost feel like, they almost feel like the same movie. And then we get to the final Nightmare. At this point, Freddy was starting to get old. New Line Cinemas, I think, were getting a little tired of making Freddy movies, and they wanted to move on. So they wanted to put Freddy to bed. And so their biggest mistake, in my mind, was their choice of new director. They chose Rachel Talalay as the new director. Now, you might say, who the hell is that? Well, she is someone who had worked, you know, on the other films as a producer, mostly. She worked for New Line Cinemas. She wasn't an artistic person. She wasn't a director. And but she said, hey, you know, I got some ideas. How about let me direct? And they were like, all right, why not? But to me, the problem with letting her direct, it's like you're working in an office and, you know, you've got an annual party that you do every year. And you usually hire, you know, this outside party company who are excellent at making and running parties. And every year you go with a different one. They're all great. But then this year you decide, okay, this is going to be the last party we do. Now we're going to let Barbara in accounting run it because, you know, she's been to all the parties. And even though she's never done a party before in her life, we think that, well, you know, she wants to do it. So why the hell not? This is going to be the last one. So what can it hurt? Well, it can hurt a lot. Because Rachel Talalay proved that she is no director. The biggest problem with the final Nightmare for me is that it's just a stupid story. It doesn't make any sense. And Rachel Talalay has even said that what she felt was missing from the last couple films was humor. And I'm like, but it's not supposed to be a funny movie. These aren't comedies. These are horror movies. You know, what was missing from the last films wasn't too much. There was actually already too much comedy. What you needed was more horror, more suspense, more thrills. You know, you didn't need more gore. You needed more thrills. You needed to be afraid of Freddy. And Freddy was no one to be afraid of anymore. Yeah, the characters needed to be afraid of him, but we certainly weren't. We were now being entertained by his kills. We weren't being terrified by them. And so for her decisions or whatever, she decided that the last film needed to be a parody of Freddy, which it didn't. It needed to be a scary film. And so it is the least scariest of the film. It is the funniest of the movies, and that's not to its benefit because some of the times when it's trying to be scary, it's funny. And you're wondering why there are so many jokes in the movie in the first place. Was this supposed to be a horror movie? And so for me, I know there's probably some people out there who actually like Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, but I cannot count myself as one, and I'm actually going to put that one as below part two. I actually think part two tries to be scary, and it actually succeeds in some parts. Whatever, now we're up to, what, six? Freddy's Dead doesn't even try to be scary. It tries to be a comedy, and it just falls in the face because it's not that funny. It shouldn't have been funny in the first place, and definitely there's nothing in it that's at all scary. So if you can tell, I'm not a big fan of Freddy's Dead, and to me it was a shame that that was how they were going to end it. Well, Wes Craven, the creator of the whole Freddy franchise, who had nothing to do with 4, 5, and 6, realized that he agreed with me. It was a terrible way to end. He said, that's not how you end Freddy. Like, here, let me do it. So he came back to New Line, who at this point decided that they weren't going to do any more Freddy movies. But Wes said, yes, you are. There's an idea I had for part three. I pitched it. You shot it down. It's now time we actually do this idea. And the idea was, let's take Freddy out of the movies. Put him in the real world. What happens if Freddy decides to come out of the movies and starts attacking the actors who were in that film? So now in this movie, Heather Langenkamp returns as Heather Langenkamp. John Saxton returns as John Saxton. Wes Craven in the movie now plays himself. The head of New Line Cinemas, Robert Shea, plays himself. A lot of people in the movie play themselves. And the plot is probably the most original storyline for any horror movie, but especially for the Nightmare films since the first one. Because it's now not just Freddy killing people in their dreams. In this one, Wes Craven has learned that there's an evil entity out there, and it gets trapped in stories by storytellers. And it's fine living its life in the stores because it doesn't know any better, shall we say. And it can do everything that it wants and it enjoys doing, which is being scary in the course of a story. The problem is what happens when they stop telling their stories. Then the demon wants out. It needs to keep working. It needs to keep doing what it does. And this time it's now become Freddy. It's a demon, but it's now living it, and it's now haunting the people involved with the film. So now Wes has to write one more movie so that he can contain the demon, and it can only be defeated by the person who defeated him in the first film, which is, of course, the actress who played Nancy, Heather Langenkamp. And it's a brilliant story, and it's the first time Wes came back as a director for the Nightmare films, and he decided that, you know, Freddy was not Freddy. This was a demon, so it had to be scary. And for the first time since the first movie, he actually made a horror film and not a movie that was funny. So Robert Englund doesn't play Freddy the same way. He plays him like a demon who is something to be terrified of. And overall, there's very little jokes in the film at all. It's the most terrifying. It's a thriller. It's a terrifying movie. And every time I watch it, I'm going like, this one is actually probably the scariest of them all. Because it's real. And many of the scenes they shot were shot during after the after effects of a real life earthquake in California. So a lot of this stuff, it's like, wow, this actually feels like it really happened. So it actually is terrifying. And then they wrapped it up and they did the Jason versus Freddy, which I like, but it's not a scary movie. It goes back to the notion of the Dream Warriors, where it's an action adventure horror film, which is a lot of fun to watch, but it's just goofy. And then they tried once more with a remake, which was fine, but unnecessary, because it kind of retold the story of the first film, but we've already seen it. It was already done well. There was no reason to redo it. And the real problem is they now recast Freddy. And, you know, as much as I love the actor who played him in the remake, I can't think of his name now. It's going to drive me up a wall. As soon as I end the show, I'll remember it. I can picture it. It's got three words. I can look it up, but it's not important. Anyway, so it's, you know, he was great in it, but it's, you know, we've already seen Robert Englund doing it. So it's like, it's not Freddy. It was just weird. Also, I think he appeared too young. Although he probably wasn't, he just appeared it. He just didn't seem like Freddy. And the movie just wasn't as scary. It tried to be, but it just didn't work. And I would love to see them try again do something original, but at this point it's kind of like, well, if you're not going to get Robert Englund to do it, then why bother? Well, anyway, so that's my feeling on the Nightmare on Elm Street film. Let me know in the comments or anything you want. How you felt? Did you agree? How did you rate your films? Did you think that Nightmare 5 was your favorite or whatever? I don't remember. Anyway, so that's it. So I want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. And beware of those dreams because they'll come and get you. Everyone, good night. This is the Movie Talk with Vince. Take care.